This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode about Black health and Black health disparities. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Black women are 3 to 4 times more likely to die from pregnancy-related causes than white women. Many experts believe that having more Black healthcare workers makes a difference and improves care. Crystal Good is the founder and publisher of Black by God, the West Virginian, a news organization centering Black voices in the state. She looked into this issue in West Virginia and what options Black families have for finding birth workers that look like them.
When I was giving birth to my second child in 1999, I had a Black doula by my side, Pia Long. Before I met her, I didn't know what a doula was, much less that as a Black woman, her presence could increase my odds of having a successful birth. I just thought, to have a baby, you go to the hospital. But Pia told me there was another way. She told me the history of Black doulas and the traditional folk medicines practiced by Black women for years. At the time, Pia was the only Black doula in West Virginia. And since then, like so many of my West Virginia friends, she and her family left. When you're the only Black anything in West Virginia, you carry a weight. If I leave, who is going to take up this work? But another Black woman began her journey to be by the side of Black mothers and to become a certified nurse midwife, Stacia Quintrell.
I provide care to make sure that the person is healthy who's carrying the baby, and then go to their house when it's time for them to have their baby and make sure that the baby and the person having it is healthy, and then assist with the birth and stay about 4 hours afterwards. And really, it's just to govern over and to oversee that it's progressing normally.
Research has found that having midwives involved in childbirth improves outcome for both mothers and babies. But for Black women, better outcomes is not just as simple as more midwives.
A lot of these midwives have hidden biases or are actively racist, and that midwifery doesn't protect them. It is having providers that look like them that are culturally competent.
Stacia recalls one birth in 2021. Where she noticed an important sign that a mom was not doing well, one that the other providers missed. I spoke to that patient. Her name is Carmen Squires. When she thought her labor was starting, she called Stacia.
I think I'm having some contractions. And I said, I'm going to go get in the shower. She said, yeah, do that. Go get in the shower. And if they stop, then, you know, we can kind of see what happens from there. But when I got out of the shower, it was more intense. I'm like, yeah, that was reverse. I don't think that was supposed to do that.
Stacia dropped everything and started the 2-hour journey to Carmen's house. During the delivery, a complication came up.
I had gotten pale a little bit, but Stacia was like, you need to drink some juice and lay back. She's pale. And another midwife said, is she really?
None of the white healthcare providers in the room recognized that Carmen was going pale. This complication let Carmen know she made the right decision to work with a midwife that looked like her. Carmen trusted Stacia, and Stacia knew there wasn't time for second guessing.
She was pale, but nobody noticed. It's hard to tell if you're not used to looking at somebody with brown skin when they become pale. When we're looking at medical training or nursing training, it's not done on all different types of skin. The base level is usually white skin, and things look very much different on white skin. That's rashes, that's bruises, that's lesions, that's all type of stuff. And being pale is one of those things.
And for Stacia, being culturally competent doesn't just mean attending diversity training. It means being brought up in that culture. It means providing Black families with a Black midwife.
You hear a lot of like, oh, you know, well, we're doing anti-racism trainings and we're doing this and we're doing this. And so they think that they have become competent in these things. And so you start to get into this almost white saviorism. And white saviorism to me is almost as bad as racism because you start off like, oh my gosh, they need me. I have to be here. And then because you don't understand the culture, it turns into resentment.
I talked about this with Lori Andrus. She's a researcher and associate dean for equity, inclusion, and community engagement at Geisinger Commonwealth School of Medicine in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Lori studied racial disparities in infant mortality in West Virginia. Black infants die at almost twice the rate of white infants in the state. And she says healthcare institutions have gotten invested in a bad strategy.
Being colorblind.
Instead of paying attention to diversity among the people who provide healthcare.
We know that if our population is made up of 30% African Americans, but we're hiring or allowing into our institutions those African Americans at a rate of less than 2% every year, then that's a disproportionate kind of entry.
Lori says not having nearly enough Black medical providers creates all sorts of issues. Everything from inequality in health outcomes to miscommunication to not taking the pain of Black women seriously. Lori says too often, we tend to blame oppressed groups for unequal outcomes.
What we know in the United States, more likely than not, that disease category is socially patterned or it's going to be broken down by race. And so the results will say those at risk for that disease are minorities, African Americans, the elderly, those who live below the poverty line. And so we've begun to associate Blackness with illness, Blackness with a greater rate of death. But what we haven't done is to look at the reasons why Black people would suffer at a greater rate with these different kinds of illnesses.
Having a provider who looks like you, understands you, makes a difference. Luckily for me, I had Pia when I was giving birth. And luckily for Carmen, she had Stacia.
The connection that I felt with Stacia is the reason why I stayed with the home birth. In the midst of us deciding that we were going to do home birth, there was a part of me that was like, Carmen, you're in West Virginia. I don't know. But Stacia would send me information, check on me all the time. And it was just convenient, smooth, amazing. Like, it was great.
Carmen delivered a healthy baby, Olivia Cannon, born on Juneteenth of 2021.
I just knew that she was going to be born on Juneteenth. And I kept telling the other midwife, I'm like, she's going to be born on Juneteenth. She's going to be born on Juneteenth.
Baby Olivia was one of the last babies Stacia needed to help deliver to become a fully licensed, certified professional midwife. Carmen had three babies in hospitals before her home birth experience with Stacia, and she says she can't even compare the experiences. Most of all, she was thankful that she could find a Black birth worker to be there through everything. And now, with the birth of Olivia Cannon, other Black families across West Virginia will have that same option.
That was Crystal Good reporting. She's the founder and publisher of Black by God, the West Virginian. It's a news organization centering Black voices in the state. Kyle Vass helped produce that story.